Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. This is Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur. I'm your sales and profit evangelist, your chief profitability officer. My company is called E3C. It stands for Entrepreneurship, Empowerment, and Evolution. And the C stands for Connect, Collaborate, and Create. We show you how to maximize your profits and business opportunities. We teach you the best practices for profitability and share with you new ideas and strategies to take your business to the next level. Thank you for listening in. What we're going to do is talk about We're going to talk about promoting your company, getting publicity, and that's what it's all about. When you're a small startup or you're a young company, people need sales, but they need to promote their company. So how are you going to do that? We're going to talk with Norma Stanley of NFS Communications. She's going to share with us 10 things you should know to secure effective publicity for your company. So let me introduce Norma Stanley. She's a public relations diversity marketing consultant. She brings over 20 years of experience in designing, implementing, award-winning, awareness-generating, and brand-building marketing and communication programs and services for major corporations. Some of her companies include General Motors, Mott's, Coca-Cola, Atlanta Development Authority, Arby's, I'm getting hungry already, Hallmark, MCI, the Centers for Disease and Control, the 1996 Olympics, and Universal Press Syndicate. So let me bring onto the show.
Thank you very much.
Norma, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you. So let's talk about what public relations, promoting your company, your business.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that so important, and how do we do that? First of all, why is it so important?
It's very important because if people don't know about your products and services and your company, they can't buy your products and services. And you need to be out in the market, more so than your competition, so that the media know what you need and what you're trying to accomplish through your products and services, and particularly the customers know, so that, of course, you can build your business.
So what's the story behind NFS, does that stand for anything?
It stands for Necessary for Success Communications and Public Relations. And what we do, we've been doing again for a long time, as you shared, and my company is a small boutique public relations firm, which a lot of agencies and potential clients are moving to because we're more cost effective. Some of the larger firms, although they're wonderful in terms of what they offer, they're extremely expensive. So for, upstart companies and, small to medium companies, we offer more cost-efficient creative programs that maximize their budget but also maximizes their consumer reach.
Okay. Now, you talked about the 10 things you should know. What's maybe the first thing that you should know about promoting your business?
The first thing is that it's necessary. Marketing, public relations is a part of marketing. It's a component of marketing. And there's something called integrated marketing that involves advertising, direct mail. There's so many different aspects, but advertising and public relations is a major part of it. That's including radio ads, television ads, print ads, and public relations. Public relations actually is the most cost-efficient of those three because people know that you can buy advertising. So you can buy messages by paying for those ads. But from a PR standpoint, from a publicity standpoint, media is writing about you from a third-party aspect, so it's more believable. by the consumer and potential customer.
Okay, so one of the other 10 things that you mentioned here, one of them is use creative media strategy. What is that all about?
Creative media strategy is helping you to break through the clutter, helping you to stand out from any other company.
That's very important.
Oh, it's so very important. And there are some, you know, because the competition is stiff in pretty much for every company.
You got radio, you got TV, you got advertising, news, you know, magazines, newspapers.
So
yeah.
The creative strategy will incorporate whatever your marketing programming is, like say, you know, you want to buy advertising and, you know, decide that you want to do print. That's one component, but you cannot get away from the PR side. I'll give you an example. When I did some work for Arby's, we actually had a whole town boycott hamburgers, which put in, you know, kind of messed up McDonald's for about a week. And that created a lot of publicity. So that's creative media strategy. We come up with ideas to, you know, get the media to cover what we want them to cover and, you know, let the media know also the competition and how we are attacking the competition. So that's one creative media strategy. Another one that I absolutely love, and it's, I didn't come up with it, but maybe one day, Burrell is a major, major, huge PR firm. It's one of the top PR firms in the nation, and they're getting ready to launch a program that is utilizing technology and the Internet to make sure that their messages for their client is told. And one of those clients is Toyota. And what they're doing is they have a program that utilizes a digital and real-world gaming component, and their campaign is called If Looks Could Kill, which is a series of videos that feature a resourceful fashion designer. And she, of course, she drives a Camry, and she's involved in some kind of spy plot, espionage plot. And what they did was they sent out press kits to major media, whoever the key person is in the national media, and they sent it out in lock boxes like it was some kind of, you know, special thing, and placed it within it, a file folder and an evidence bag. So, of course, media's going to open up something like that, and they're going to be excited and interested in seeing what that's all about and cover the story. So that's creative media. That's something that we do to, of course, break through the clutter and let media know that this is something they need to pay attention to and write about.
All right, and you talk about why strong media relationships are important. Why are they so important?
They're important because the more relationships you have with media, of course, the more coverage you're going to get. Part of what we do in PR firms, we have to develop relationships, because if we don't, we don't get the kind of coverage that we could for our clients. So part of my job is to continue. You never stop because, of course, like any other job, media, you know, people leave jobs. So you have to continue to develop relationships with, you know, like Essence Magazine and Black Enterprise and Time Magazine and Business Week and all these different media. You have to actually court relationships with some of these media people to know that when you have a story, they have to know you and you have to know them. So,
but how do you do that when you have a business? You got to run your business, and you also have to establish relationships with TV and radio. How do you get through them?
You need to hire us.
Okay.
You need to hire PR professionals, because you're right. If you're trying to run your business, it's very, very hard to do that and do your publicity at the same time. And, you know, to tell you the truth, it actually is better inside of media to actually have an outside party pushing you, you know, because it kind of looks like you're self-promoting and, you know, that kind of thing. And they don't necessarily kind of like that. They like the fact that you have a third party telling people how wonderful you are. And having media relationships, you know, help to push that message further than you would ordinarily do. A lot of media or small companies or startup companies don't have relationships with national media, and we do.
Let's talk a little bit about the Internet. Because we're talking on the Internet right now. We're streaming live. So how has the media, the Internet, changed PR, public relations?
It has changed it tremendously. We can't do things the way we once did. We can still do certain, you know, things that are creative, but we actually have to incorporate the new media, that's, you know, the whole technology and internet media that's taking place right now. The way we write has to be different. We have to write in short bullet points. We can't, you know, we tell stories, but we have to tell stories in a different manner because, you know, people will lose interest. And that's just going globally now. So it's not just in the particular market. It's not just domestically that stories are being told. It's going globally. So our information has to read as if it's going globally, number one, and also it has to share information that can be quickly read so that, you know, because people will keep moving on. There's so many different sites and so many different pieces of information coming up when you call or when you log on to somebody's site or website that, you know, a server, because a server is, of course, like a Yahoo or any of the other ones. You know, when you call up somebody's information or whatever tag they use, all these different stories come up. So you want to make sure that your story comes up as soon as possible, as well as it being linked back to your site so people can go out, go and read about your company, your products, and your services and see why they should buy your products.
Okay. So as we wrap up, we're going to bring on another guest here in a minute, but what would you want listeners to get from our conversation?
Well, I'd like them to understand that public relations is very necessary. It's a broad component. It's not just publicity, but publicity is the core of public relations, and that you can't do without it if you're trying to become a successful company in this market, in any market.
So if you could give us three essential elements of PR that you want our listeners to get and do as your contact information, your website.
Okay. Three components is that you have to have media relationships, not just locally, but regionally and nationally, including trade publications and television, radio, internet, all of those things. You have to have that as part of your success program. Number two is you have to be strategic. You have to look at the whole, all the opportunities that may possibly be out there, especially with your competition, and look at what you can do to exceed those programs that they're putting on. You have to kind of always be on the lookout for opportunities, and that takes strategy.
And what's number three?
Number three is, again, securing a professional public relations firm so that those things...
That would be you.
That would be me, NFS Communications, so that it could be done in a strategic manner, in a professional manner, and in making sure that your products and services and, you know, are sold or can be sold, and you can be able to actually see how things are moving as things go, because we have to measure the success of each effort that we do for you.
And how do we reach you, Norma?
Okay, you can reach me at my office number, which is 404-451-1811, and my website is NFS, which stands for Necessary for Success, Comp Communication. So NFSCOM, C-O-M-M, like Mary Mary, NFSCOM Writer, because I'm a writer, .com, NFSCOM Writer.com.
All right, then. So thank you very much, Norma. And
you've
got to come back and share with us your other experience and expertise on PR and promoting businesses.
Okay, I look forward to it.
Don't be guessing. We're going to engage Norma. She's going to be promoting not only my company but my business community network that we've created. So I'm really, really excited to be working with you. Thank you, Norma.
Thank you.
All right, then. Norma Stanley, NFS Communications. When we come back, we're going to bring on a special guest, very special guest, J.C. Watts, J.C. Watts Company. We're going to have a great discussion. He's got a secret that he's launching right now. Actually, it's been out for a little bit. The Black News Network. We're going to bring him on in just a few minutes. We'll go to a little commercial break, bring some music on, Brian Hunley, and we'll come back with J.C. Watts. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Ken, a passion entrepreneur. I'm your profit and sales evangelist, your chief profitability officer. My company is E3C, stands for Entrepreneurship Empowerment Evolution. We maximize your profits and business opportunities. We teach you the best practices for profitability and share with you new ideas and strategies to take your business to the next level. Thank you for listening in. On the program today, we have J.C. Watts. He's launching the Black News Network. He's a former congressman from Oklahoma, quarterback in the University of Oklahoma. I actually was going to go to the University of Oklahoma, play football. He's chairman of the J.C. Watts Company. So let me give you an understanding of the companies he has. He's got Watts Partners, which is a government and public affairs firm, focuses on solving the problems, enhancing opportunity in the Washington, D.C. area, working with Congress and government. He also has Oakcrest Capital Partners, which is a private equity firm. He's got Mustang Equipment, two John Deere dealerships headquartered in San Antonio, Texas. And he also has Source for Africa, an export company that provides marketing, logistics, sales support for U.S.-based companies. And he's got an engineering construction company in Oklahoma, which is interesting. But he's got an HR empowerment workforce. So that's J.C. Watt Companies. He's launching the Black News Network. So we're going to bring on J.C. J.C., welcome to the program. How are you?
KB, I'm doing well, man. How are you this morning?
Pretty good, pretty good. Thanks for joining us. Now, you've got all these companies. Now you're launching the Black News Network. Do you have any time to do this?
Well, you know, Kenneth, my role in a lot of those, you know, we've got management teams that who are autonomous to each other, and you know, the consulting firm I'm in, I launched that when I left Congress, and we've got a management team that manages that, and I pretty much get involved in business development. Construction company, project management construction company that I have, I invested there a couple of years ago due to all the consolidation I saw in the wireless community and thought there would be some opportunities. So most of my alignments in my businesses, they are aligned under management teams. Most of my time is spent on private equity and then the Black Television news channel. That's where my time and focus is, and I think we're on to something. We've been working on this news channel for, kind of the last 5 years. And
really?
All of a sudden in the last 60 days, we've had some good things happen that's kind of turbocharged our progress to hopefully be able to launch somewhere around mid to late summer of 2009. But obviously in trying to launch a channel or a network, the key is distribution. And over the last 60 days, we've had some good things happen there. Comcast stepped up to the plate. They are a critical player for what we're trying to accomplish because they represent about 52% of the African-American households in America. Time Warner has about 42%. So between those two cable networks, they control about 95% of the African-American cable households. So we've got about half of them lined up and in positive discussions with Time Warner. So, again, DishNet, we signed an agreement with them, so they're going to give us carriage. So those two things were just critical, and it's all come to fruition here in the last few months. And so here we are getting positioned to do what we set out to do about 5 years ago.
Now let's talk about your vision and mission for this this new network. What is the vision and mission for this company?
Well, I saw 10 years ago that just some data and research from where I was sitting in Congress saw that there was something going on here in this space. And, I saw some data in like 1997, 98, that when you looked at the top 10 TV shows in the white community and the top 10 TV shows in the black community, they were all different. You know, Steve Harvey was number one in the black community. ER was number one in the white community. And ER was the only one that overlapped with either demographic. But ER was number 10 in the black community. And I discovered the reason that ER even showed up in the black community is because it had some black cast members. And so mm-hmm. I think people want Norma mentioned your previous guest, Kenneth, she was talking about, you know, speaking to people, you know, the right way. She alluded to that. And my theory is I think you have to speak to people in ways they want to listen. And mm-hmm. so, you know, the African-American community, you know, they have different sources for news and information and resources that they go to primarily today through the Internet because they have no news channels. The African-American community has two entertainment channels with TV1 and BET.
Right.
The Hispanic community has, I think the Hispanic community has about 70 Hispanic cable channels and three cable news services.
Wow.
The African American community has no cable news channels, but as far back as 2003, Simmons Research, an arm of Nielsen and Arbitron, indicated that African Americans, more than any other culture, depend on subscription television to stay informed, watching about roughly 30% more cable news than non-minority viewers. And today they go to different news sources, but they have often said, we have nothing that we feel like speaks to us and gives us our a unique perspective, which I think there is, in terms of African American community.
So what kind of void do you expect to fill that the news outlets are not addressing?
Well, I think when you look at when you look at CNN, and I don't pick on them because I've got many friends over at CNN. I've got friends at Fox, MSNBC, but when you look at CNN, you see two consistent African Americans contributing to the news cycle. You see Donna Brazile, you see Roland Martin, and they'll rotate a few more. Fox News has Juan Williams. MSNBC will kind of rotate. You know, Harold Ford kind of shows up on all those shows. He's somewhat of a free agent. But you don't see many, I pop up on the Talking Head shows. So you don't see many African Americans. And I think, you know, when you get that perspective, an African American perspective, I think that, you know, when you look at Barack Obama, regardless of one of what a person might think of Barack Obama's policies, kind of I've said publicly, you know, Barack Obama and Jeremiah Wright, if Barack Obama loses the election because of this relationship with Jeremiah Wright, I think that's a real injustice. And the reason I think there's a real injustice, one, I have seen nothing in his writings, in his books, in his speeches that would give me the impression that he sees the world through the prism of Jeremiah Wright. And secondly, and that's not been said on most of the Talking Head shows, and secondly, in the black community, good, bad, or indifferent, we do have a different kind of relationship with our pastor than most white parishioners have with their pastors, because as far back as you can remember, the church has been the cornerstone in the African-American community. That pastor has meant a whole lot more to you, to me, to most African, good, bad, or indifferent. The pastor has played a different role in the African-American community than other pastors. And so there is a unique perspective that I think you miss in mainstream news.
Now, you're launching this 24-hour cable news network, and you're on a business show. As a business person, where's the opportunity? Why do you see that this is a significant opportunity for you and your company?
Well, I think the African American community, when there's a lot of discussion about how the Hispanic community is becoming, and I think there's some real merit to this, the Hispanic community, Latino community, is becoming the majority minority. But when you look at the economics in that ethnic minority space,
yeah.
The African American community still spends, they are the dominant economic players. They still spend probably 70 cents of every dollar that's being spent in that ethnic minority space. And you look at those communities, and Norma could have spoken to this as well from her position as a public relations person, a marketing person. When you consider that, what do African Americans, what do they buy? They buy cars, they buy clothes, they buy houses, they buy furniture, they buy everything that every other community buys, and those who will invest and reinvest and make it a part of their DNA to speak to the African American community by and large is very large. McDonald's has a very good reputation in the African American community because they have reinvested through franchisees and creating ownership for African Americans. General Motors, McDonald's also have an African American president in Don Thompson. But General Motors, I mean, when you look at brand loyalty, General Motors has great brand loyalty with the African American community because you look at all the minority entrepreneurs that they've created through their procurement, their diversity and procurement measures, and so. Black Television News Channel obviously will give advertisers, General Motors, McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, mortgage companies, anybody else, give them, a venue that they can speak to a very dynamic demographic.
So in terms of images with this new news network that you're creating, what kind of images do you see that the major outlets are providing, and how are you going to improve those images?
Well, I think the African American, you have to understand, or people have to understand, that the black community, while crime and drugs, while that is news, that's news in the white community, the black, red, yellow, brown community, that is news. But it would not be difficult to get the impression in looking at mainstream news that is all that the black community is. We are much broader than drugs and crime. We are economics. I'm in my private equity company. I'm a member of an organization called NAIC, National Association of Investment Companies. Kenneth, the companies that belong to NAIC, they manage and invest billions of dollars for corporate pension funds, for institutional funds around the country. You hear very, very little about that. I think there's a rich history in the African American community that you hear very little about, unless it's during Black History Month, and most of that is going to be, espoused through media outlets like yours. And so I think we have to, I've recognized and I've known for 50 years, and especially in my adult life, that we are very diverse. We are a very diverse community with a very diverse range of thoughts and ideas and opinions. From a political, when I was in politics, I used to say most black people don't think alike. Most black people just vote alike. And so, I think there's a richness there that I think, while the Black Television News Channel will be, specific to the African American community, I think it's something that all communities can benefit from, to say, hey, we're becoming, you know, a little more in tune with what the community is. They are economics. They are sports. They are political. They are newsmakers. They are legislators. They are CEOs of firms. And one final thought on that. I suspect that the demographic that you tap into when you look at your show and what you try to accomplish through your show, I think they, hopefully our channel and what you do as well, you often allude to, as I do in my daily walk in the circles that I run in, is that in 2008 America, entrepreneurs in the African-American community, they do not fail or succeed, succeed because of quality and experience. You succeed because of access and relationships. You know, the quality
Absolutely.
Of experience is there. You know, African-Americans know how to manage. They know how to deliver a product or service. They know how to do that. They understand the importance of quality. But where they usually get left out of the mix is they don't have the access and relationships. And so,
Absolutely.
You know, through the opportunities and through your show, through Black Television News Channel, through my consulting organization, we try to help, you know, small businesses and the clients that we represent in terms of, you know, in terms of solving problems for them. A lot of times that problem is solved if they can say, you know, we don't know the procurement officer. We've called him or her 10 times. We don't get our calls returned. You know, this policy here, you know, it's, man, it works against us as African-American business owners, as small business owners. It works against us. You know, can we go to the right person and tell our side of the story? And they may or may not agree with us, or they might disagree with us, but if we can get to the right people to tell our story on how this policy impacts our small business, our minority business, in an adverse way, you know, Kenneth, that's huge. And so, so again, we hope the channel can do some of those things and highlight some of those things. But that is news.
Yeah, looking for the opportunity. We're running out of time, but I had a couple more questions. One is, what about the programming and the content you hope to present to the American audience?
Well, we're going to have it'll be a 24-hour channel, obviously, but we're going to have about 14 to 16 hours of original programming, you know, from, 6 o'clock in the morning until, you know, 9, 10 o'clock at night, whatever that cutoff is. We'll have, news coverage, nonpartisan commentary, information, educational programs that represents a diverse African-American viewpoint about our nation's economic, political, and social challenges and achievements. And, we want to make the Black Television News Channel the single destination for reliable, credible, informational resources for the African American community, and secondly, and finally, to that question, we'll be a single destination for reliable, credible information, and viewers will be able to access the network through multiple formats, and including podcast, internet, the telephone, IPT internet protocol. So, but the mission is to make it the single destination for reliable, credible news and information for the African American community.
Now, how is this going to affect, when people say the Black News Channel, the Black News Network,
How's that going to affect other communities of color, Hispanic, Latino, Asian, Native American, and, you know, and white Americans?
Well, I think it impacts them positively. I watch Fox and CNN and MSNBC, in spite of the fact that they don't have, you know, a whole lot of color on there. I watch them for information, and you know, it always helps. You know, you go to CNN, you get one perspective. You go to Fox, you get a perspective. You go to MSNBC, you get a perspective. You go to CNBC, you get, in terms of business or Fox Business Channel, with Fox and CNBC, that's a lot of business, or Bloomberg. You know, I go to those. I listen to a lot of I've got a lot of data points that I like to tap into in order to get information. I think the news channel, Black Television News Channel, I think it's good. It will be good not just for the black community, but as I said earlier, I think the white, yellow, brown, red community, I think can learn as can benefit as well. And I think to better answer that question, John Lewis and I, Congressman Lewis there in Atlanta, John and I teamed up back in the late 90s to work to establish the African American History Museum here in Washington, D.C.
Right.
And while the African American Museum is specific to the African American community, it is also American history. Black history is American history. Black people lived on the downside of that, and it's a dark chapter in American history. But nevertheless, it is American history. So you can't fully understand and appreciate America as in any demographic circle, and say we're going to ignore African American history, we're going to ignore slavery. And I think if people really want to grow and understand ourselves as a nation, I think we have to, you know, factor in that dark chapter as well. And I think the Black Television News Channel, while I think it's going to be extremely positive, I think, and it's going to be culturally specific to the African American community, I think all communities can learn and grow from that experience.
All right, let me give you a word association as we conclude. When I say partnership and ownership, what comes to mind to you as it relates to the Black News Channel?
Well, partnership and ownership, I think partnership is Comcast and DishNet, and as I said, we've been working on it for 5 years, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in partnership with DishNet and Comcast, critically important. And, you know, Kenneth, we've had, news channels or African-American channels that's tried to launch before, and they've been unsuccessful by and large because they couldn't get distribution. So that's critically important. When you say ownership, I think if you launch something that has black in it, I think the community does feel ownership in things like that. I think when you're, you know, the first. Now, we're not the first because BET had news at one time, but when you consider something with this type of undertaking, I think the African American community does take certain pride in a Barack Obama being the first nominee of either major political party, and they do take ownership in that. But, you know, I think all of America should take some ownership in that, because I issued a press release about a week ago saying, in spite of what one's political affiliation might be, America should take some pride in the fact that this has happened. I think that's huge. That's a great milestone for our nation. And more importantly, it gives my 17-year-old son ownership in it, because Barack has painted a picture for him of what it can look like.
What is possible.
As an African-American male. So I think those things come to mind in terms of ownership and partnership. We're excited about the possibilities and about having a place, a venue that anybody that wants to learn and grow, we hope to provide that venue, but it does have a cultural specific bent toward the African American community.
All right. So thank you so very much, J.C. Watts, for being on the program. How can we help and support you and your endeavors with this new network?
Well, we've got DishNet and, as I said, DishNet and Comcast. We're in positive discussions with Time Warner. We will be visiting with Cox Communications, Cablevision out of New York, DirecTV out of L.A. So, the thing is, if you have a channel, you've got about four or five organizations that control what comes into the front room of anyone's home, and we've got two of those people on board. We're working to get three or four more on board. So anytime you get an opportunity, encourage Time Warner, Cox, DirecTV, any of those folks like that to say, take a look at it on its merits, and it's an idea whose time has come. That 25 to 54 year old demographic, they are hungry for reliable, credible news, and we think we're positioned pretty well to make that a reality. And we look forward to the partnership and the rolling out of Black Television News Channel.
All right then. So, and your website is www.btnc.tv, correct?
That's correct.
All right, then, www.btnc.tv. Back in 1996, you welcomed me with open arms. I ran for Congress. You were kind and you were considerate, so I want to thank you so very much when I came up to D.C.
Well, man, I appreciate the opportunity to be on with you this morning. You're very kind to do that, and trust that you can put your feet under my dinner table any day of the week.
All right. Don't be a stranger. You'll come back and let us know how you're progressing with this.
Good deal.
Endeavor. All right.
Thank
J.C.
you,
Watts, Black News Network. Okay. Very right. Thank you so very much, J.C. So there is the show. We have a couple people, a couple callers. Let me see if I can bring these people on and get their response. This is the Passion Entrepreneur. You're speaking with Ken. How are you? Welcome. You have a comment, question? I guess not. We'll bring this person on. Welcome. This is the Passion Entrepreneur. You have a question or a comment?
Ken, this is Dave Walker.
Yes, Dave. How are you doing, Dave?
Oh, man, that was great. I love what J.C. Watts is doing. You know as well as I do that information is power. And if he's able to harness those sort of partnerships to get distribute that much information, it will be a very powerful network. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. So Dave Walker, you're a business attorney. Why don't you? I'll give you a shameless plug here.
Oh, always. Thanks. I appreciate it. I'm Dave Walker, business attorney from Handprint Group. We focus on helping companies structure themselves for fundraising, everything from startup companies to going public.
All right, then. And what's your website?
www.handprintgroup.com.
All right. And what makes you special as a business attorney? Why should somebody hire you?
Well, number one,
there's a lot of attorneys out there, and some of them are going broke.
Well, I don't plan to be one of those, so I would like people to hire me. But essentially, is my skill set, my background in the fundraising arena. I am a specialist when it comes to advising companies on how to negotiate their fundraise, how to come up with a strategy for attracting their fundraise, and I've been trained at some of the most powerful firms in the country. I've helped take a company public, a Korean company public in the U.S., and a U.S. company public in Frankfurt, as well as served as corporate counsel to a public company. And so I'm very familiar with the intricacies of corporate law from startup to going public. Now, in Atlanta, I have decided to hang up my own shingle, if you will, because I felt like this is the birthplace of a lot of entrepreneurs, particularly in the minority community. And so when I hear things like J.C. Watts is doing, I feel like I'm right in line with what I'm supposed to be doing. When I left the world of the, marble-slated law firms and felt like, you know, I'm going to bring this skill set down to a level in which everyday people could use to advance their businesses. The number one thing J.C. Watts said was most accurate was relationships. I can come in and help a company structure themselves, and I can come in and help them form their entity or put together a private placement memorandum. But if they don't have relationships, that makes it very difficult. So I bring my relationships to the table to be able to advance businesses and generate revenue for them and also help them to raise money. The legal part of it is nice, but I'm trying to educate our community that a business attorney is more than just the person who reviews your contracts or writes a letter to a vendor or to a client who owes money. We're really about counseling and making sure the entrepreneur can sleep at night and also has and introduces them to relationships in different industries based upon my wide client network.
All right. So thank you very much, David, for being on the show and your kind comments. We've got to bring you back on to talk about the business and the law.
Yeah, and you know, I heard you say that you were thinking about attending the University of Oklahoma. And, I'll make sure we won't tell our other Michigan alumni if you said that. But I understand.
back in the 70s, you know, Oklahoma, University of Oklahoma was the prominent football program in the United States. And I wanted to play football. So I said, you know, my father said, what do you want to do? You want to go to military? You want to go to school? I'm like, I think I'll go to Oklahoma and play football.
And there's no doubt about that. J.C. Watts probably influenced that decision as well himself.
Perhaps. All right. So thank you very much, David, and let's bring you back on the show real soon.
Thanks, Ken. Great guest. I appreciate what you're doing.
All right, then. Thank you. All right. That was David Walker, Handprint Group. Anyway, as we wrap up, Norma Stanley shared with me a really interesting quote from William Arthur Ward. It's called The Winner's Blueprint for Achievement. On Tuesday, every Tuesday, we have a networking program where I call it actually this networking program, where we bring on entrepreneurs, 10, 12, 15 people. We talk about issues. We share information and knowledge. It's called E3C Connect or My Business Community Connect. And on this program, we try to help each other out. And so Norma was on the session this past Tuesday, and she shared with us the winner's blueprint for achievement. And what I want to do is share it with the listeners, the audience here. And it's called the winner's blueprint for achievement. Here it is. Believe while others are doubting. Plan while others are playing. Study while others are sleeping. Decide while others are delaying. Prepare while others are daydreaming. Begin while others are procrastinating. Work while others are wishing. Save while others are wasting. Listen while others are talking. Smile while others are frowning. Commend when others are criticizing. Persist while others are quitting. That is the winner's blueprint. So I wanted to share that with you. I thought that was so inspiring, so empowering. Thank you, Norma Stanley, for sharing that with me. And that's the show. So if you have comments, we'd love to hear from you. Please forward your comments to our podcast comment section or the blog. And my question to you is, what did you learn today? Probably more importantly, how will you apply what you've learned? What action steps specifically will you implement to improve your business and increase profitability? If you've got a question, a guest idea, a topic of interest, just contact me through the podcast email. If you listen to this program on Blog Talk or my company podcast page, please rate and comment the show. As you know, you've got rating systems like Technorati, Digit, Delicious, StumbleUpon. Use them all. I don't care. The more the merrier.
And weekly, I don't know if everybody knows this, but weekly I get thousands upon thousands of people listening and downloading our podcast. So it's great exposure for you if you make a comment. And very important as we wrap up, E3C provides access to over 360 plus ideas on profit, sales ideas, 60 courses, quizzes, surveys, assessments, and forms, and over 25 different aids that you can have. So also, we just announced two newsletters. Sign up for the coaching business newsletter at www.bettersalesandprofitsnow. That's www.bettersalesandprofitsnow. And if you're interested in the My Business Community website, that's connecting other passionate entrepreneurs like myself, you can go to www.mybusinesscommunity.com. That's my-business-community.com. So as we conclude, dare to be great, be remarkable, be extraordinary, and above all, stay profitable. Brian Hunley, with your music, take us out. Thank you.